Good morning. Welcome to worship here at Trinity Lutheran Church in Hoyleton, Illinois. My name is Pastor Nate Wallenberg, and it is wonderful to have you all here with us today because today is our name day. We have named our congregation Trinity, and today is Holy Trinity Sunday. Now, what does that mean? Well, it's somewhat a mystery because we can't fully understand what it means for our God to be the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God in three persons. And so because our words fail us at times, one of the things that we will do in our worship today is we will speak the words of the Athanasian Creed. We do this once a year. It's a very, very long creed. It goes into detail about who the Trinity is and also about the two natures, the human and divine natures of Jesus Christ. So we will do that later in our service today. We'll also be recognizing that this is Memorial Day weekend in our country, and so there will be opportunities for us through song and through prayer to remember and to give thanks to God for those who have died for this country, have done a truly Christ-like thing in sacrificing their lives for the good of others. And so we will be focusing on that as well. But with all of that to focus on in one worship service, we always remember that we are gathered together around the Word of God and the Gospel, which reminds us that we are forgiven and loved children of God through Jesus Christ, His Son. And so as we do that, we will be following Divine Service Setting 3. It's all printed there for you in the bulletin. And I invite you to please stand as we begin our worship in the triune name. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue our worship today with the psalm of the day, which is Psalm 29. We will speak this psalm responsively. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. He makes Lebanon to skip like a calf.
And Syria like
the voice of the Lord. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness.
The Lord shakes the wilderness of
the voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood.
The Lord sits enthroned and is king forever.
May the Lord give strength to His people.
May the Lord bless His people with peace.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Have mercy upon us, Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us.
Please remain standing as we sing our hymn of praise, Eternal Father, Strong to Save. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray together the collect of the day. We pray, Almighty and everlasting God, you have given us grace to acknowledge the glory of the eternal Trinity by the confession of a true faith and to worship the unity in the power of the divine majesty. Keep us steadfast in the faith and defend us from all adversities. For you, O Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, live and reign, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated for the reading of God's Word. The Old Testament reading appointed for Holy Trinity Sunday is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 6, beginning with verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundations of the thresholds shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, Woe is me, for I am lost, For I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?" Then I said, "Here I am, send me." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We speak the gradual responsively. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. On your wondrous works I will meditate. Our second reading is from the book of Acts, chapter 2, beginning with verse 14 and then proceeding on to verse 22. Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pangs of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, 'I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. Therefore, my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence.' Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool.' Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand for the Alleluia. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the third chapter. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, You hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, "How can these things be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know, and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him." This is the gospel of the Lord. Congregation may be seated. Due to the length of the Athanasian Creed, not only do you get to sit for the creed, but we'll also be speaking the creed responsively. We confess the faith. Whoever desires to be saved must, above all, hold the Catholic faith. And the Catholic faith is this: for the Father is one person, the Son is another, and the Holy Spirit is another. Such as the Father is, such is the Son, and such is the Holy Spirit.
The Father uncreated, the Son uncreated, the Holy Spirit uncreated.
The Father infinite, the Son infinite, the Holy Spirit infinite.
The Father eternal, the Son eternal, the Holy Spirit eternal.
And yet there are not three eternals, but one eternal. In the same way, the Father is almighty, the Son almighty, the Holy Spirit almighty.
And yet there are not three almighties, but one almighty.
So, the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God.
And yet there are not three almighties,
but one God. So, the Father is Lord, the Son is Lord, the Holy Spirit is Lord. Just as we are compelled by the Christian truth to acknowledge each distinct person as God and Lord, so also are we prohibited by the Catholic religion to say that there are three gods or lords.
The Father is not made nor created, nor begotten by anyone.
The Son is neither made nor created, but begotten of the Father alone. Thus, there is one Father, not three fathers, one Son, not three sons, one Holy Spirit, not three Holy Spirits.
And in this Trinity, none is before or after another, none is greater or less than another.
But the whole three persons are co-eternal with each other and co-equal, so that in all things, as has been stated above, the Trinity in unity and unity in Trinity is to be worshipped.
Therefore, whoever desires to be saved must think thus about the Trinity.
But it is also necessary for everlasting salvation that one faithfully believe the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Therefore,
He is God, begotten from the substance of the Father before all ages, and he is man, born from the substance of his mother in this age. Equal to the Father with respect to his divinity, less than the Father with respect to his humanity. One, however, not by the conversion of the divinity into flesh, but by the assumption of the humanity into God. For as the rational soul and flesh is one man, so God and man is one Christ. Ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father, God Almighty, from whence he will come to judge the living and the dead. And those who have done good will enter into eternal life, and those who have done evil into eternal fire. We now continue with our sermon hymn, Alleluia, Let Praises Ring. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the sermon today is the Psalm of the day, Psalm 29, which we recited back and forth earlier in our worship service. If you want to go back to that spot where the intro it normally is after the confession absolution, if you want to kind of go back to that in the bulletin and make reference to that throughout the sermon, feel free to do so. That psalm is filled with references to the voice of the Lord. We said that over and over again as we recited it, talking about how strong and how powerful the voice of the Lord really is. And I think that's really especially helpful on Holy Trinity Sunday, because I think when we talk about the Trinity, sometimes our voice almost feels like it's taken away from us. We can't quite come up with the words to say sometimes to really try to describe who this Holy Trinity really is. And so we give thanks to God today that at times when our words are not sufficient, that God has given us words and fills us with the right words to say. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, there are some things in this world that can leave us speechless and frightened, but in those moments, it helps to have a song to sing. So I want to begin the sermon by telling you about something that I learned as I was listening to a podcast earlier this week. If you don't know what that term means, if you're not familiar with podcasts, it's basically like you're listening to the radio. So let's say you have a favorite radio program that you tune into and listen to. Except the benefit of a podcast is it's online. So you can download it and you can listen to it at your convenience whenever you want to, whenever you have time to. And you don't even have to listen to the whole thing. You can listen to part of it and come back to it later. It's really a nice thing. So anyway, I was listening to a podcast earlier this week, and the host of the podcast was interviewing a woman by the name of Megan Morrow. And I had never heard of her before, but she was being interviewed because she is one of the country's leading experts in music therapy. And I didn't ever hear about music therapy before I listened to this podcast. And I'll be honest with you, I almost turned the thing off and just switched to a different podcast, because to me, at first, you know, music therapy sounds like something that's just completely made up. Like it sounds like, I don't know, some kind of like new age thing where people sit around in a circle and they listen to music and maybe they've got their healing crystals and their essential oils and they think that's going to save them or something. But I'm really glad that I continued listening, because I learned a lot about music therapy that I had never known before. As it turns out, music therapy is used a lot for patients who have some sort of brain damage because of maybe a trauma or maybe a stroke or something like that. And a lot of times it's with patients who have lost the ability to talk or to walk. So music is used to kind of bring those memories back and even bring those abilities back. Because if you didn't know this, music is one of those things that really penetrates like the deepest parts of our brain and really can help to jog those memories. So sometimes just by hearing a song, it can remind you of how to do things that maybe you can't do anymore. It's really amazing in that way. And just as an aside, I think this is also a reason why it's really important that we do worship the way that we do. We have a liturgy. We sing the same songs, the same hymns, the same parts of the liturgy week after week, and that music gets down into the deepest parts of our brains. A lot of times we're memorizing scripture, we're memorizing the word of God without even realizing it. And I can say from personal experience that when you're working with somebody who maybe has dementia, he's kind of forgetful, maybe somebody who can't even remember who their loved ones are sitting right in front of them, they can still, oftentimes still, sing the hymns and the liturgy that they learned from many, many years ago. They can still sing praises to the Lord, even at those times, at the end of life. It's really, really amazing. But anyway, so going back to this music therapist, Megan Morrow, the reason why she was being interviewed was because she was the one 10 years ago who was called in to help when, if you remember this, Congresswoman Gabby Giffords was shot at a press event in Tucson, Arizona. She was actually shot in the head. She survived, thanks be to God. But they tried everything. The doctors tried everything to get her to learn how to talk again. She just lost the ability to speak. And she kind of joke about it later, like, my name's Gabby and I can't speak. But they couldn't figure out how to do it. They tried different kinds of physical therapy and nothing was working. And then they brought in this Megan Morrow and she started playing this music. And little by little, Congresswoman Giffords, she first learned how to sing again. And then over time, eventually, the singing turned into speech. It's turned into speaking. It's really, really an amazing thing, an amazing story. And so it just got me thinking about how there are things in this world that can leave us speechless, take our words away, leave us frightened. And yet in those moments, it's really helpful to have a song to sing. So today is Holy Trinity Sunday, like we've mentioned. And so today we have this annual opportunity to try to put into words something that is truly indescribable. It's the only Sunday on the whole church year calendar that is devoted to a specific Christian doctrine rather than, you know, a certain story from Scripture or a certain event from the life of Christ or something like that. It's just a whole Sunday dedicated to a teaching. And that's kind of interesting because, of course, the one teaching, the one doctrine that we have a whole Sunday dedicated to is one that's really, really hard to explain, right? Wouldn't it be nice if we just had, you know, Law and Gospel Sunday, or, I don't know, like, Justification by Grace Alone Through Faith Alone Sunday? We'd have to work on the name, right? But and maybe we already consider Reformation Day that, right? But you know what I'm saying. Instead, we have Holy Trinity Sunday, a whole day dedicated to something that we will never be able to fully understand or explain. Because we human beings in our fallen state are never going to be able to actually grasp the truth of God's triune nature. We can say certain things about it, right? We can talk about how we know that there is one God. We know that this one God also is three persons. We know that those three persons can be completely distinguished from one from another. So certain things that one person does, the other persons don't do. Like, for example, the Son was born of the Virgin Mary. The Father wasn't. The Holy Spirit wasn't. Last week on Pentecost Sunday, we talked about how the Holy Spirit was the one who was poured out upon the church. The Father wasn't. And the Son wasn't. But how this all works, how we can have one God and yet three persons, that's something that oftentimes I'll say, if you think about it too hard, your brain might just explode, because the concept of the Holy Trinity is not logical, at least not from a human logic perspective. But when we read Scripture, we see that it is true, even if it's not logical. And so, since we don't have the words to say, since we are left kind of speechless with all of this, what we might need is some music therapy. What we might need is a song to sing that will help us with this, especially since our brains are exploding. That'd be nice to have too. The church has given us a song, and it comes in the words of the Athanasian Creed, in one sense, that we spoke earlier. And I know that it's not really a song per se, but I don't know if you knew this or not, but the Athanasian Creed many, many years ago actually was set to music. And churches would use the Athanasian Creed as a hymn or in place of a psalm during worship, right? Can you imagine if I had you guys sing the Athanasian Creed today? I don't think that'd make it onto anybody's top 10 lists of hymns, probably because it's so long. But you know, the reason why that creed is so long is because it's really trying to explain the unexplainable. It goes into all of this detail, maybe we would say painful, excruciating, almost redundant detail about who the Trinity is, and of course also the two natures of Christ, the divine and human natures of Christ. But whether you love the Athanasian Creed or you don't really care for it very much, the creed is really, really important. Because our God is not just a Trinity, he is the Holy Trinity. And a lot of times we think of the word holy, holiness, we think of that being a really good thing, but holiness can also be a frightening thing. A holy God can actually leave sinners like you and me feeling a little bit scared, a little bit frightened, a little bit speechless. And so, like I said, in those moments, it's really helpful to have a song to sing. That's why I also love the fact that Psalm 29 is the appointed psalm for Trinity Sunday, because I think this psalm really goes along well with this theme. Psalm 29 is music therapy, in the sense that it takes something that could leave us scared and speechless, like in the example of the psalm, the great and powerful voice of the Lord, and yet it uses that to bring us hope and joy and peace. 7 times in this psalm, we hear about God's almighty, powerful voice. I'm just going to kind of go back through these here. So like in verse 3, the voice of the Lord is over all the waters and thundering. In verse 4, the voice of the Lord is powerful and full of majesty. In verse 5, the voice of the Lord is breaking the cedars of Lebanon, which in those days, just so you know, Lebanon was known for having the biggest, tallest, most strongest trees in the whole world. It'd be like saying that the voice of God can just mow down the California redwoods or something like that. In verse 7, you guys got to say this: the voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. How's that for alliteration? Say that 5 times fast, right? Verse 8, the voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. In verse 9, the voice of the Lord is making the deer give birth and stripping the forest bare. And the whole point is, if this is what the voice of the Lord can do all to the rest of creation, imagine what the voice of the Lord could do to you and me. Because of our constant sin and rebellion against God, we really don't have any reason on our own to think that we could just stand in God's holy presence and hear the powerful voice of the Lord and think that we're going to get out of this alive. I mean, worse than a brain trauma, worse than some stroke, the voice of the Lord actually causes death for those who are unworthy and unholy. The law of the Word of God cuts through us faster than a speeding bullet and doesn't just take our speech away, but can take away our very life. But again, it's helpful to have a song to sing. And it's helpful to have a psalm like Psalm 29, because the last verse of the psalm, verse 11, says, "May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace." These are more than just nice-sounding words that we're tacking on to the end of an otherwise frightening and terrifying description of God's power and might. But this is actually music therapy. These words that are being sung in a psalm, they bring healing to us. They jog the deepest parts of our memory and remind us of who God really is. Yes, he is holy. Yes, he is almighty. Yes, he is greater than any of us and could squash us like little bugs if he really wanted to. But more than any of that, first and foremost, our God is love. And he uses his might and his power not to destroy us, but to protect us and to bless us and to give us our voices back. The Holy Trinity has chosen to use his powerful voice for your benefit. All three persons perfectly coordinated together in order to make sure that you and I will have eternal life. So the Father uses his voice to create you and me and all things and to give us everything that we need for life. And the Son uses his voice for teaching and for healing, but most importantly, for crying out, "It is finished," as he's hanging from the cross, as he's sacrificing himself for us to take away our sins. The Holy Spirit has been using his voice for the last 2,000 years, speaking the gospel into our very souls, bringing the word of God, the good news of life and salvation, forgiveness into every corner of the earth, sanctifying us, making us holy, making us worthy, making it possible for us to stand in God's presence and to hear his almighty, powerful voice and not be destroyed. That's the real blessing of Trinity Sunday. That's the real reason that we are gathered here today. It's not so that we're going to leave here and be more confused than we ever were about who God really is and what his true identity is as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, because it's so hard for us to understand. But the true blessing of Trinity Sunday is to recognize that even with all of the mysterious things of God, all of those things are for our benefit and for our good. It is true that there are some things in this world that leave us speechless and leave us frightened. But like I said, it helps to have a song to sing. It helps to go to music therapy. It helps to hear the voice of the Lord speaking and singing to you and singing through you, especially when you and I don't have the sufficient words to sing on our own. So our prayer is that our triune God, our Father, Son, and Holy Spirit would fill us with his words and his song. And not just right now and not just right here, but everywhere that we go. So that this kind of music therapy can go out to the ends of the earth and bring healing to everyone, eternal healing for all the world. In the name of the Father and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. There are a few updates for you in the prayer list today. Under care facilities, we have continued to pray for Helen Quaid, and we received word that Helen is going to be moving later this week. It looks like on Thursday, she's going to be moving up to a nursing facility in Naperville, which will be closer to her children. And so we continue to pray for her and for that safe travel and for continued blessings as she makes that transition. Under hospitalized, we continue to pray for Wayne Mashoff. Wayne was hospitalized this week with some stomach issues. Thankfully, he is back home now, so we'll continue to pray for his health. We're also adding to the prayer list today Bill Evans. That is the father of Lisa Rommelman, and he is hospitalized currently with pneumonia. Finally, we, at the bottom of our prayer list, you'll see we have the family of George Hatcher, and we prayed for him last week. That's the cousin of Tana Schneider and Carla McDaniel. We received word that George passed away on Tuesday, so we'll be lifting up his family in prayer as we look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Please stand as we go to God in prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord of hosts, your ways are inscrutable and your judgments unsearchable. Through your word, give us an ever-growing understanding of the depths of your riches, wisdom, and knowledge, that we may glorify you forever. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of hosts, you gave your only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Bless the work of missionaries as they carry this gospel to the ends of the earth, that many may hear of your love in your Son and be saved through him. Especially bless our partners in mission and ministry, including Pastor Joel Fritchie in the Dominican Republic, and also our sister congregation, Messiah Lutheran in Carlisle, and their pastor, Scott Shilby. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of hosts, we give thanks for those who have served our nation through military service. And on this Memorial Day weekend, we especially remember with gratitude those who gave their lives for us and for the cause of freedom. Help us to honor their sacrifice by using our liberty responsibly. Bless our nation. Help us to protect and increase the privileges we have for those who will come after us, looking always to you from whom these privileges come. Guide and protect the men and women serving in the military who have a connection to our congregational family, especially Michael, Daniel, Brett, Jesse, Chase, Isaac, Patty, Robert, Austin, Ward, Caitlin, Colby, Eric, Daniel, Joyce, Tanya, Shaylin, and Alex. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of hosts, we give thanks to you for all of your great blessings. We rejoice today with those who are celebrating birthdays, including Jenna, Riley, Stacy, Betty, Theodore, James, Lila, Elizabeth, and Aislinn. We also praise you for the gifts of marriage and family and ask you to strengthen the bonds that we have with one another. Bless those who are celebrating special anniversaries this week, including Mike and Beth Urban, Doug and Melanie Rademeyer, and Bob and Eunice Brink. Help them to continue to grow in love for you and for each other. Lord, in your mercy. Lord of hosts, uphold all who suffer in our midst by your truth, that since you are at their right hand, they cannot be shaken. Be especially with those who are on our congregation's prayer list, including those who are in care facilities, Thretta, Ferris, Bill, Helen, Esther, Bessie, and Brian. We lift before you Wayne, who is now back home, and we continue to pray for his health. We also lift before you Bill, who is currently hospitalized with pneumonia. We pray that you would take that illness away from him. We also lift before you all those with ongoing health needs and concerns, including Robert, Fran, Marvin, Harley, Amy, Beulah, Verdell, Jim, Ray, Richard, Carlene, Alma, Jim, Mike, Orville, Linda, Marvin, Francis, Chris, Jean, Sam, Laverne, Diane, Brenda, all those who are fighting cancer, and all those who have been affected by the coronavirus. Gladden their hearts, cause their tongues to rejoice, and make their flesh dwell in hope. We also lift before you today all those who are mourning the passing of loved ones. Be especially with the family and friends of George Hatcher, and remind them of your great love and mercy, which brings life even in the midst of death. Lord, in your mercy. All these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again, and now lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. We're going to remain standing as we sing our offertory hymn, God Bless Our Native Land.
Thank you.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and grant you his peace. Amen. You may be seated. Our closing hymn today is Holy God, We Praise Thy Name. Please stand.
Thank you.
You may be seated. At this time, I will invite our Sunday school teachers and students to dismiss. You can head over to the school at this time. Good morning. Well, school's out for summer, but there are still a number of things that are happening around here, and so I wanted to bring a few of those things to your attention here in our announcements. First of all, we're going to have a ladies' aid meeting this Tuesday, so it'll be the first Tuesday of the month because it'll be June 1st, so that'll be at 7 o'clock over in the Activity Center. Ladies, put that on your calendar. Also wanted to make sure you all knew that women's Bible study that normally takes place on Wednesday nights is going to be just taking a short hiatus for the summer, so that will come back in the fall. We'll make more announcements as that comes. But we are going to be starting a new midweek Bible study this coming Wednesday. So this is something I've done the last few years. On Wednesday mornings, anybody who's available could come and join us, 9:15 right here in the sanctuary. We're going to be taking a look at the lectionary readings, so the three readings that we have on Sundays. We're going to look at the Sunday that's coming up and take a little bit of a deeper dive into those verses. And it's been a really helpful study. I think the last couple of years we've done this in the summer. Now, the benefit this year is now that we have our live stream option. For those of you who can't join us at 9:15 here in the sanctuary, you can still join us from wherever you might be, or kind of like a podcast, like I was mentioning before, you can listen at your convenience. You can watch it later on. It'll be there on our Facebook page. So please tune in and study with us. That'll be all the Wednesday mornings in the summer. There's a few that we're going to have to take off when I'm out of town and things like that, but I'll let everybody know when those come up. Looking ahead, next Wednesday, so not this one, the second, but June 9th, there's going to be an informational meeting for youth and parents who are going to be, we're going to be talking about the National Youth Gathering, which is coming up just about a year from now. We're going down to Houston, Texas in the summer of 2022. We're also thinking about possibly having a canoe trip this summer. It's been a while since we've had the canoe trip, and so we would like anybody who's interested in those things to come and join us on the 9th. That will be at 7 o'clock p.m., so we hope you'll put that on your calendar. The day before that, Tuesday, June 8th, will be the day that our new school principal, John Schaff, and his wife, Leandra, will be traveling down from Litchfield and moving to Hoyleton. We are really excited for this to happen, and we're going to try to help them as much as we can. So we've got a bunch of guys that are going to be going up and helping to load their stuff up in Litchfield. And then coming back, we need some help to unload it here in the Teacherage. So if any of you are willing and able to come and help with any of that, we would love for you to participate and help us to welcome the Schaffs to Hoyleton. If you have any questions about that, Ben Bainey's phone number is there in the bulletin. You can call him and he'll let you know what's going on. Starting this Wednesday, we have a new, this actually took place last year, and it's not something we're doing, but I just want to let you know about it. There's a summer lunch program that's going to be available for all children here in Hoyleton that are, I guess it's under the age of 18. It's going to be Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. They're going to be distributing lunches at the community building. And that actually begins this Wednesday, June 2nd. So you have to just go to the community building between 11:30 and 12:30, and you can have a free lunch on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. And then the last thing to mention is just that next week is going to be our big Welcome Back Sunday. And so all of the remaining COVID restrictions that we have been dealing with are going to be lifted for us here in worship next Sunday. So if you're planning to join us, please come. And you don't have to sign up for worship anymore. You don't have to let us know that you're coming, but we'd love for you to come. And you can sit wherever you'd like next week. We're going to be removing the ropes. We're going to be communing up here at the rail. I'll take some time next week to remind everybody how we used to do things, you know, 15 months ago or however long it's been. But we hope that you'll join us. Especially, we want you to come to our welcome back potluck, which is going to be taking place after the worship service. We're going to be having some chicken and some catfish nuggets, and I think there's sloppy joes, and we're asking for you to bring a side dish or dessert to share. There's going to be a basket for a free will offering there as well to help cover the cost of the meat. But we just think it's going to be a great day to come and celebrate. And so we hope you'll join us. That's next Sunday, June 6th. I think those are all the announcements I wanted to highlight. Are there any other announcements that I might have missed today? Okay, seeing none. Oh, we got one in the back. Oh, okay. So is that Jim Quaid back there? Oh, okay. Yeah. So Helen is going up to Naperville. Jim's going to help her move up there, but then he's going to be coming back to Hoyleton. Is that what you just said? Okay, thank you, Jim. All right, anything else today? All right, if not, then God's blessings to you and your family the rest of this Memorial Day weekend. Go in peace, serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you for joining us. Have a blessed week. Thank you.